Want to be the hit of your Halloween party? Stock up on 70 great spooky stories you can tell your friends and family. Get your copy of True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire 2 for only $2.99 at jimharoldbooks.com. Go to jimharoldbooks.com and stay spooky.
This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. Wow, it has been an exciting week over at the Spooky Studio because many of you out there picked up a copy of our new book, True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold Campfire 2, picked up a Kindle copy over at jimharoldbooks.com and shot it right to number one in terms of supernatural books on the Kindle store in the U.S. So thank you so much. I certainly appreciate it. And right now I'm looking at the Amazon screen as of 9:36 a.m. On Tuesday, the 24th. We're still number one in the supernatural category. And we have 23 reviews and our average is 5 stars. I think every review except for one has been 5 stars. I'm proud of this book. And I think you'd enjoy it, too. So if you have bought it, first of all, thank you. I would appreciate it so much if you go over to jimharoldbooks.com. That just forwards you over to the Amazon page and leave a review. I would really, really appreciate that because that gets the attention of the folks over at Amazon. And maybe people have never heard of The Campfire or Jim Harold. And if you haven't bought it, what are you waiting for? It's only $2.99 in the electronic book version, and you don't need a Kindle to read it. You can get a ton of free apps for your computer, your phone, your tablet, if you're on Android or iOS. So really, if you're listening to this show, you can read the Kindle copy, and it's only $2.99, guys. It would help me a lot and help spread the word and tell your friends. That's over at jimharoldbooks.com. That's jimharoldbooks.com, and thanks for making us number one. You're number one in our book. Now, on to this excellent show. I really enjoyed this conversation with Robert Bruce, and I think you'll like it too. An area that has long fascinated me has been the area of out-of-body experiences, astral travel, astral projection. And we have an expert on the subject today, Robert Bruce, and that's going to be our topic. And I'm sure we'll delve into some other spiritual areas. We'll tell you a little bit about Robert first. He is a published metaphysicist and a true spiritual pioneer of our times. He's the author of multiple groundbreaking books, and his life is spent exploring the dynamics of all things paranormal and spiritual and testing the boundaries of the greater spiritual reality. This exploration particularly involves the human energy body and its chakras, which form the foundations of both physical and spiritual existence, according to Robert. The depth and scope of his experiential knowledge is quite vast. His other areas of expertise include astral projection, often called OBEs, out-of-body experiences, kundalini and its phenomena, clairvoyance, spiritual and psychic development, metaphysics, and psychic self-defense. Robert is a man who lives in the greater spiritual reality, and he asks others to join him there. He lectures internationally, and he lives in the great country where we have a lot of listeners and a lot of friends down in Australia. You can find him on the web at astraldynamics.com. Robert, welcome to the program tonight.
G'day, Jim. That's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, and this is fascinating to me. I was reading a little bit about you, and you started down this road before there was such a thing as the internet and so forth. And as I understand it, you were thirsting for knowledge in this area. Can you tell us how you got into a lifelong pursuit of the spiritual?
I started having spontaneous OBEs, astral projection, around the age of 3 or 4 years of age when I was a little lad. And the first time it happened, I was in bed, you know, settling down to sleep, and I felt this whole body vibration, which was a light, sort of buzzy, quite comfortable vibration, but quite intense. And I floated out of my body, still on my back, as if my bed was coming with me. I perceived like the whole bed was levitating. And I floated through, across my room and out into the hallway and down the stairs. And as a little lad, I was quite scared. I don't know how long that lasted, but I was like moved around the house for several minutes. And the next night, it happened again and again and again, and I had thousands of OBEs in my, particularly my childhood. An interesting thing happened just before I had my first OBE. The probably a couple of weeks prior to that, I had been having episodes of paralysis, even as such a little lad as I was. And I vividly remember this because in my practices for decades, one of the things I did was to push my memories back into the womb and before the womb. And this is a practice, it's doesn't mean I'm special or anything. Anybody can do this if you do the practice of the memory practice I use. But just before I had my first OBE, I woke up one night with a paralysis episode happening, and I was buzzing lightly, but I was paralyzed. I could see through my closed eyelids, and there was a bright light coming from above my right shoulder. And the buzzing I had then intensified into a very uncomfortable type of vibration, the kind that would set your teeth on edge. It's like biting into aluminum foil or paper. That sort of feeling, yeah, I felt very uncomfortable. And I'd had this several times before, and I hated the feeling that happened. And this one time, I got up the courage, and I could move very sluggishly. Now, I know now that I wasn't physically moving, but my astral body, you could say, was moving within the boundaries of my physical body because I was partly separated. And I struggled around to look at the light coming from behind me. And I moved around, and what I saw was astounding. There was a ball of light about the size of a basketball, and that was pulsing with this bright, creamy white light. And sitting beside this ball was a large extraterrestrial, an ET, of the large grey variety. It looked like a praying mantis in the way its joints were structured. And it was as big as a man, a grown man. It was quite large. And with big eyes and a triangular face. And I looked at it for a few moments, and the being was looking at the light, and then it looked up, looked me straight in the eye, and saw that I was looking at it. And it reached out and touched the ball, and I passed out. Wow. So it was doing something to me. And that type of experience happened to me dozens and dozens of times through my childhood, apart from the OBEs. And I think this being altered me in some way, and this had something to do with the astral projections I was spontaneously having, like most nights I would have up until the age of about probably 10, I suppose, just about every night. And after that, it was not as frequent, but still occurring regularly.
A fascinating discussion with Robert Bruce, and we'll be back right after this on the Paranormal Podcast. Do you want to be the hit of your Halloween party? Well, then stock up on 70 great spooky stories that you can tell your friends and family. Pick up your copy of True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire 2, for only $2.99 at jimharoldbooks.com. As I said at the beginning of the show, thank you all so much. Great success. Number one supernatural book in the Kindle store as of this reading. And we're pleased as a punch. I'm very proud of the book. I really enjoyed doing the first book. I enjoyed doing this one even more. I'm very proud of, and I'm glad that I can bring this book to you for the low price of $2.99. And I got to tell you, sometimes things get a little tough over at this, the spooky studio, you know, trying to keep everything going and all the different expenses and so forth. And this is a way that you could economically help us, a one-time charge of $2.99. And help yourself, because I know that most of you are going to have Halloween events. Maybe you're going to have some campfires. And wouldn't you like to be the person at the party or at the campfire who has all these great stories? Well, you're one click away from getting them. Go over to jimharoldbooks.com. Pick up the campfire book today, Campfire 2. And as I said before, you do not need a Kindle to read this book. Amazon has some fantastic free apps for your iPhone, your iPad, your Android phone, your Android tablet, for your computer, whether it be PC or Mac. So pretty much, if you're listening to this show, you can read a Kindle book. That's why I decided to go with them. They have such a great platform and really something for everyone. So please go over to jimharoldbooks.com, pick up the book. It's a full-length book, 70 stories that are certain to thrill you and chill you. And as I said earlier, we have 23 reviews so far. I think 22 of those are five-star reviews, so that's pretty good. And I would certainly appreciate it if you have purchased it, and thank you so much, if you would go over and leave a review, because you probably really don't understand how important that is to get the profile up the book. It's just, that is the one thing people don't know Jim Harold. They don't know the campfire, but they say, well, they're spooky stories and it's got a 5-star review average and there's 200 people who have reviewed it. Man, I think that's worth a chance for $2.99. So that really helps. So we'd really appreciate that. You can find it all at jimharoldbooks.com. That's jimharoldbooks.com. We hope you decide to pick up on it, particularly if you've enjoyed the free programs. Maybe the Plus Club is a little out of your reach, and I can understand that. But this is something I think pretty much everybody can afford. If you value this program, if you value the Campfire program, it's really something where everybody can help out and keep our shows going strong. Thank you so much. Happy Halloween. Check it all out at jimharoldbooks.com. We're back on the Paranormal Podcast. Our guest is Robert Bruce. That's amazing, and certainly would be inspiration to follow this. And it's, I think it makes an important distinction. And certainly I'm by no means even near the same category as you are. But as I understand it, there are a couple of different types of astral projection or astral travel, some that are voluntary and some that are involuntary. Can you talk about those differences?
Yes, the a spontaneous astral projection occurs just spontaneously. It's like waking up. You just wake up either leaving your body or just after you've exited the body, which is probably more common, and find yourself, you know, floating around in your bedroom, maybe up near the ceiling. It's very common. And and of course the other type is when you induce an astral projection deliberately, which is deliberate astral projection, deliberate out-of-body experience. Now, relating to that as well, lucid dreaming comes into this as well, because lucid dreaming is a valid type of out-of-body experience as well. It's not just a dream. In my exploration of the subject, I think lucid dreaming is a projection of the mental body as opposed to astral projection being a projection of the astral body. And what most people experience contains part astral, part mental body. And this explains this the ratio changes person to person. And this explains the great variety of symptoms and sensations and experiences that people tend to have with out-of-body experience. I mean, there is no one type of OBE. It's not always the same for people. And this also includes near-death experience, which is also an astral projection.
Now, when you talk about astral projection, I think when people talk about out-of-body experiences, maybe a common perception is that you have a physical body, you have a spiritual body, the spiritual body leaves the physical body. But are you more along and in the camp that actually what the spiritual part that comes out of someone during an astral projection or out-of-body experience is like a duplicate of their spirit? How does that work exactly in your view?
I coined the phrase on this before my work appeared in the early 90s. It was widely believed that when you had an astral projection, you, your spirit, your mind, your memories, everything actually left your physical body. And the physical body was left an empty shell, an empty husk, they would call it there. And because of that, it was there were lots of fears involved and various protection rituals and that, because if your body's empty, then something could come and take it or get into it. Mm-hmm. But my exploration of the subject, which was incredibly in-depth and exhaustive, proves beyond a doubt that you do not ever leave your physical body while you still live, with the technical, I should say, the temporary exception of near-death experience, which is only possible. Now, when you have an astral projection or an out-of-body experience of any type, you will experience what I call the mind split effect. And what happens here is your physical body is in a deep state of relaxation. You go into an altered state of consciousness, which we do every time we go to sleep as part of the falling asleep process. I mean, being asleep is to be in an altered state of consciousness, which you're not usually conscious. And when you get to a deep level of physical mental relaxation, as if you were falling asleep, you generate a copy of yourself. And that copy, as you fall asleep, floats free or projects, is projected out of the body. And for most people, that copy will float just above, about 2 feet above the physical body, mimicking the sleeping position. And that's what I call a sleep OBE. And that's commonly what most people have most of the time. But when the astral body, you could say, the copy, starts to wake up, then, of course, you start experiencing the out-of-body state, and you can, you know, fly and move through walls and do some incredible things. And it's a fascinating thing to do and a lot of fun. But once again, you, your spirit, your soul, your mind, your memories never actually leave your physical body. This is a copy. It's like the RAM in a computer, which only exists while you're in that state. Then when you wake up, if something wakes you up, that copy, that energy copy, we call the projected double or the astral body, is reeled back in instantaneously, and you wake up, you reintegrate.
So it's a fair parallel. You used random access memory, and that's an interesting way to put it. So on a computer, you have data that you will keep and is stored on the computer, which is on your hard drive. And then you have random access memory, which is, you know, it's on the fly. It's like right now on my computer, your image is in the RAM, but it'll go away once we end this call. But the recording that I'm making will stay on the hard drive, hopefully. So really, your spirit, your everyday spirit that you walk around with, is kind of like the data on the hard drive, but this projection is the data that's in the RAM, as it were.
Exactly. And I use the analogy of RAM in a computer because RAM memory only exists when it has power to it and it's being used. When you throw the switch and you shut your computer down, anything that was in RAM, including this conversation we're having now, will completely disappear.
Right.
So that's the analogy I use. When the physical body, mind, is in the right state, it projects out, you could say its RAM becomes active and it projects out a copy of itself. And now this hints at the ubiquitous nature of, you could say, existence, a spiritual existence here, because you can be awake, still conscious, in your physical body mind while you are having an astral projection in progress. Now, while this is happening, this means there are two copies of you functioning simultaneously, each one experiencing their own environments independently, gathering experience memories independently, although they are connected. Your dream mind can also become active at the same time. That makes three copies of you functioning simultaneously. And more copies are possible depending on the available, you could say, energy of your consciousness and the situation. So, yeah, this is also a very good way of looking at life and reality and incarnation and just how life works. It gives you a glimpse into something. And this is a glimpse which anybody can do. Anybody can learn how to astral project. It's a process. You know, some people have it naturally where they start having it spontaneously and they learn how to do it. They have a knack for it. But most people have to follow a process of learning how to quieten the mind, to deeply relax the mind and the body, and to allow yourself to fall asleep. Your physical body and mind has to fall asleep while you hold yourself awake. Now, in that state, you will experience an astral projection, but you may not be aware of it. If your consciousness and your memories are being stored from the physical body-mind location, which is habitual, that's natural, that's a default setting there.
Right.
You can have an astral projection and not know about it, and when the astral body comes back and re-enters, you will not know about it. You will only be aware of being maybe paralyzed in bed, because normally when you have an astral projection, your physical body is left paralyzed. You just can't move a muscle. It's not uncomfortable. You just can't move. And a lot of people that meditate regularly will have numerous astral projections without knowing it. And a typical scenario is, let's say you're in a meditation group where you do like a 30-minute OBE, and a 30-minute meditation, I meant to say, and everybody in the room deeply relaxes and they might be following a led meditation or just sitting quietly. And at some point during the meditation, you will feel a tingling rush of energy goes rapidly up your torso through you. And you'll feel, wow, this is quite a major sensation. You feel, wow, something's happening. And then it will stop. And you think, oh, it's gone away. You continue with your meditation. 5 or 10 minutes later, you'll feel another tingling whole body rush. And you think, oh, something's happening again. And it'll just go away. Now, what you don't realize is the first tingling body rush was an exit out of the body, an astral projection. And the second tingling body rush was the re-entry and reintegration happening. But the memories gained by the projected double, the astral body, while it was separate, and you are still conscious what during your meditation, the memories of the astral body have been lost. They download into subconscious, unconscious, unrecallable levels of memory, if they download at all. And so you don't have the memories there. So the real trick to learning astral projection is not so much about getting the right technique for you. It's about learning to work with this process, how the exit occurs, how the reentry occurs, and what happens to the memories. Because during a normal OBE, you have the physical body's memories, if you're meditating, you have the astral body's memories, and you may also have the dream mind's memories as well. Now, when you reintegrate and wake up at the end of all this, how does your brain, your mind, cope with three completely different memory streams?
Right.
It doesn't. It takes the most habitual default setting. It remembers, okay, being awake in the physical body, meditating, clearing your mind, doing really nothing, but nothing particularly exciting, but that's the default setting. Now, occasionally, usually by accident, you remember parts of an astral projection, a few seconds here, maybe a few seconds out of your dream mind, and it's kind of jumbled together at random. No real linear sequence to it. It just gets jumbled in. These three memory streams, for some reason, get dumped into recallable memory, and it just goes, boom, that's it. So you've got all these mixed memories and stuff in there, and it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but it's just the mind's best way of dealing with that event when it gets all these memories landing on it. So it does the best it can. So I advise people when teaching them astral projection to work around this. When you have an astral projection, you've got to keep it very, very short. I mean, 10 seconds out of body to 30 seconds maximum out of body. You have an astral projection, quickly look around, look at your hands, and you'll see they'll melt down very, very rapidly, so your wrists will be stumps like this candle wax that's melted. And then dive back into your physical body mind, physical body, passionately, savagely shouting your success, trying to get a bit of strength and power in the out-of-body astral memory of you. Because what normally happens is something will alert you that a body sensation or a noise or something, and it will call your astral body back in. Then your astral body is sitting out there going, oh, wow, this is cool. No real power to the thoughts, and it comes pull back in again, and it wasn't really doing much at the time, so there's nothing in the memories. You know, not enough to impact your brain, your mind, to form a memory. So if you make your out-of-body state very powerful, really get passionate about this, and then dive back into your physical body screaming, Geronimo! and hopefully yelling out a couple of key words. For example, if you'd watch your hands melt, dive back in saying, my hands melted, scream it. You dive back in again. And you will wake up reintegrated with that full memory in your mind. Now, you then have to verbalize it, speak the keywords quickly, over and over again. And you've got to reach for that large pad and pen that's laying right beside you at all times, because OBE memories are very much like dream memories. In fact, how many times have you woken up in the morning and said to yourself, wow, that was an incredible dream. It was like a two-hour movie. Incredible. Right. And it's gone. It just goes. And you think, what? It's gone. Now, look at this here. You know, and you remember very, very clearly that you had a really interesting memory, a dream memory. You know it was really good, but it's suddenly gone. But you remember that you had a memory, but the memory itself is gone. It's like a little cloud that's just moved away from your head. And you work on that, you try and pull it back, and sometimes it'll come back. This whole massive two-hour movie OBE or dream you had comes back. And right. You say, wow, I've got that. I'll never forget that. Forget what? It's gone again. It comes and goes. Now what it is here, the reason why, if you have a couple of key words, those couple of key words, when you write it down, you can look at those key words and it triggers an association in your memory storage facility. And when you read those couple of key words, bang, that memory comes back. It's like if you don't remember something and somebody gives you one word, bang, the memory comes back. It right. triggers an association. It's how memory works. Now, it's the same with OBE. So if you follow these steps, keep it very, very short, dive back in deliberately, passionately, with a couple of key words, and then as soon as you wake up, verbalize it and write those key words down. And then you can use those key words to call that memory back. You wouldn't believe how many times, probably about once a week on average, I get up in the morning and I go and make coffee, and sitting by the coffee machine is a notepad with some really bad writing scrawled on it. And I know it's a message from me, and I look at that and I go, trying to make out, you know, when you're half asleep, you try and write, right. Your handwriting is really messy. And then I make out a couple of words and boom, the entire memory. Back. Yeah, and I might remember a huge experience from the night before, and it all comes back just because I've got those couple of keywords down there.
We'll finish your thought. I have a couple other things I want to ask you about, but finish your thought.
No, I'm done there.
Okay. Well, now, obviously, somebody just starting out, you know, it's like comparing somebody just starting to golf to Tiger Woods. But when you're at a certain level, a level like you are, who you can call upon this and make it happen. When I've heard people talk about astral travel and so forth, I kind of get the vision of, well, you're in Australia. Let's say you had a friend in the UK in London, and you just want to fly by their house and kind of see, you know, what the weather was like, see how things are going. Is that literally what you can do, or is that a misconception? Can you talk to us about the kind of the more extreme forms, or kind of, for lack of a better term, cool forms that this can take in terms of when you really get good at it?
Okay. That type of astral projection you're talking about, what I call real-time astral projection in the real time zone, as I call it there, most people will experience that at the start of an OBE. Not all, but most will, even if it's only for a few seconds. Mm-hmm. Now, then they will shift into the astral planes and other different realms here. And the reason for that is when you physically, your physical body mind falls asleep, it will go into stage one sleep, stage two sleep, because you're going downwards like this into deeper and deeper levels of sleep. If you study the sleep cycle over a 90-minute period, which is a normal sleep cycle, you go from light sleep to deeper to deeper to deep sleep. And then after 90 minutes, it restarts and you go to light sleep again. And this continues throughout the night every 90 minutes. Now you can say in the first couple of minutes of an astral projection, when you first get into the state where you can separate the astral body there, that level of consciousness, that level of sleep equals the real time zone, very close to the physical dimension, very close to waking reality here. But you're an astral form. As your physical body mind gets deeper and deeper, it tunes in with the astral planes and other dimensional areas which are not like, you know, no relationship to the physical world here. So that is, I think, what why we have real-time astral projection and astral plane projection, which is in the astral planes, which is quite different.
One last question, and then I want to tell folks how they can connect with you and find out everything you're doing and find your books and your online training and so forth. Can you use astral projection or any of its cousins in any way to communicate with the dead?
Yes, definitely. I visit the spirit world, you know, regularly. I have family and friends there, and so I visit them quite regularly. So, yes, definitely you can use it to communicate with deceased people, spirits.
So let's find out, how can folks learn more if they want to learn more about your teachings and your work? And certainly it's been a fascinating 30 minutes or so we've had to spend with you, and I know there's a lot more over at your website.
Yeah, go to my website, astraldynamics.com, and you can see all my I have a lot of online programs available, video-based programs. I've also got several books out there, Astral Dynamics, Energy Work is a title, Practical Psychic Self-Defense, Mastering Astral Projection, and I've also got a free community website at astraldynamics.org, where I have a large forum and a lot of free material on that there. But yeah, go to my website, astraldynamics.com, and you'll find out all about me and what I have to offer.
Yes, astraldynamics.com. Robert, thank you so much for joining us today. It has certainly been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Must do it again sometime.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this show. I was certainly very impressed with this discussion, Mr. Bruce, and I hope that you liked it too. And also, I hope for those of you who have purchased my new book, Jim Harold's Campfire 2, True Ghost Stories, or True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire 2, that you've enjoyed it. I hope you'll go and put a nice review over at Amazon. And also, I must say, thank you so much. Thanks for rocketing us all the way to number one in terms of supernatural books on Kindle. And if you haven't, well, what are you waiting for? You're listening to this show. You enjoy the free programming. And obviously, you enjoy spooky stuff. So there you go. It's jimharrellbooks.com, only $2.99, and it will support us greatly in our efforts to continue to put out these free programs. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next time on the Paranormal Podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to jimharrold.com, and thanks for listening.